Hello, Mr. Rapp.
Hello, hello, there he is.
How are we today?
Very good, Joseph. How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Love the background too, the real background.
It is real. I put a nice blur on it, but it is in fact our office.
Super, super. Okay, I will give a bit of an introduction as to you, us, and this, and then I've got tons of questions for you today. Okay, so yeah, welcome all viewers and listeners. I'm Joseph. I'm co-founder of Zuma Recruitment. We are Berlin's, or we like to think we are Berlin's foremost data tech recruitment agency. And today I'm really pleased to be joined by our industry expert, Mr. Rapp Paulavicius. And Rapp, of course, you are head of people at Berlin's hypergrowth startup, Kittel. Today's topic is all about how to secure talent as we return to office. And in my mind, that's all about attracting and retaining the best talent in this uncertain or certain dynamic year we've had, and what that means for businesses, employers, and employees. So before we get into the topic, all of that wrap, to give it context for anybody who's listening and watching, give us a quick introduction as to you, your role at Kittel, and what that means for the Berlin industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks, Joseph. So as you said, I'm head of people at Kittel. I joined to help them accomplish two things. One is recruiting, so really owning and driving all of talent acquisition for the company, and internal HR, so making sure that we have structures and processes in place to help the company scale from, you know, a 20-odd people organization when I joined some 5 months ago to now 50 and you know, soon to be 100, I'm sure. And I joined to basically make sure that we're hiring to support that scale and the needs of the business, but also that we're taking care of company culture and all of these other things, and we're keeping things nice and cohesive and looking at performance management, looking at onboarding, right? It's no good if you hire 50 people and nobody knows what they're doing. So kind of making sure that we're doing it all together.
Awesome. Yeah, fantastic. And a fairly conventional, I'd suggest, as much as a startup can be. But what might make this a little bit different for the industry is that the last year across Europe and across Berlin, it's been a dynamic, as I said, or turbulent time. If we look even further afield internationally, we started the year, if you remember, with the likes of Google, Apple, Microsoft, JP Morgan, excuse me, and they all announced these return to office policies looking at post-pandemic, and it seemed that industry would freak out at this. And then more recently, we've seen Berlin's big tech players, big tech employers demand the same kind of hybrid working policy. So there's been a lot of moving parts, I think, over the last year. Mm-hmm. How would you define the current state from your perspective as head of people?
I think what we've seen is that the current state is very hard to define. That's where we are. It seems that the old patterns that we're used to seeing that would follow maybe the economic cycles, things started to fall apart a little bit. And it sort of depends who you ask. You know, the talent market is either on this side or on that side, right? People either are really looking for jobs or absolutely don't want to move. And so it's been tumultuous. It's been very hard to pin down. And I think specifically looking at return to office or hybrid work from home, you know, what we've seen is maybe two camps start to develop. There's the very clear, fully remote companies that are embracing the change and saying, you know, this is our advantage actually in this talent market to offer full remote. And then you've seen maybe more the big tech players, but also startups who have said, let's maybe go back a bit more to the older ways. No one is pushing for 5 days a week mandatory, it seems. Everyone's a bit scared of that. But hybrid is becoming a bit more common. And I think what we're seeing is that, you know, businesses are trying to figure out what actually works for us. What do we want to do, and why do we want to do that? And I think there's a key differentiator there. You know, I think as a business, you have the opportunity now to ask yourself, what needs do we have from a talent perspective? How do we want to build this company, this product? How do we want to build our culture? And then working backwards from that, you can say, okay, does fully remote work for us, or do we really need people to be in the office? So I think you've seen these two camps kind of develop, and the talent market also follows these two camps. And you have people who are, you know, exclusively looking for fully remote opportunities, which are there. And then you have people who are actually keen to get back to the office. You know, I've spoken to many candidates who were excited about the fact that we're hybrid. They were like, oh God, I've been working from home for 2 years. You know, I haven't spoken to a person 3 weeks apart from Slack. I can't wait to go back into the office where there's people there and you can have a coffee and you can have a chat, you know. So it's splitting, but I think also the industry is still very much figuring out what is the optimal working mode. And I think the answer there is, you know, it is whatever is optimal for your business.
Do you know, I was going to make the same point as a question to you. Is it different across startups and corporates? And also, should it be individualized across, well, of course it should be, individualized across businesses based on the needs of that business and the kind of the culture that they're trying to create? So honing in, startups versus corporates, do you think there's much difference there?
Absolutely. And the difference comes from the structure of the business, right? When we're looking at corporates, you know, they've been around for a while. They have established processes, right? They have established structures. They have tooling. They have onboarding that is intense, right? We're talking 3 month onboarding with trainings, with you know, employee handbooks, with all of these things that support getting you into the company and becoming productive. And all of these things are already in place, and 90% of them can be executed remotely, right? You're reading documentation, you're dialing into trainings, you know. So you can have a relatively smooth onboarding being fully remote because everything is already there. It's established and you know, it's clear what everyone is doing. For a startup, that's not the case, right? Startups are chaotic. It's messy. It's unstructured. You know, onboarding tends to be improvised at best or non-existent at worst. We're still seeing that. It's quite common. And so there, it's just a matter of, you know, the organization is too young and too unprepared to onboard 20 engineers fully remotely and actually have them be productive in a short amount of time. Because they just haven't had the time to invest in putting that preparation together. So as a startup, you will naturally lean towards hybrid or in office because you just need those touch points to solve immediate problems, to answer immediate questions. Whereas corporates have, you know, the luxury, let's say, of really having an onboarding that is so thorough and exhaustive that, you know, the employee will feel supported throughout that journey.
And well established, tried and trusted.
Tried and trusted, iterated, right? They've been building it for, you know, 7-10 years, right? They've had their learnings. They know what they need. A startup, you know, for every startup, it might be different. Onboarding might be different for every company. They're still figuring it out. So it's much more difficult.
Yeah. I would say onboarding, 3 month processes, all being remote and all seems to work great. But I don't think that's an indication as to securing and retaining talent fully remotely just because it worked over that 3 month period. Probably a topic we can get into later. In your own experience then at Kittle, you guys are in rapid growth mode. What's been the biggest challenges? I understand Düsseldorf, Berlin, London, all big hiring areas, probably nuances to each area. Mm-hmm. Have there been challenges within those regions, or what are the challenges you've faced, generally speaking?
The challenges are unique to the regions, that's true. In London, we found it to be a bit easier, perhaps, just because maybe the talent market is huge. And, you know, the truth is, I think for every location, you will have a talent pool that is keen to get back to the office, and you're going to have a talent pool that absolutely just wants fully remote, right? And so depending on what you choose, you're choosing to sacrifice and let go of that part of the talent pool. But the truth is, you know, in every location, you will have both. So it's really just a matter of finding the people who align to your ways of working, you know? And for us, you know, we've been in this tremendous growth mode. You know, the business has been exploding. We've managed to ship very, very quickly. You know, we got very far in a short amount of time, just in terms of the product itself. And part of the reason for that, and we truly believe this, is because we were hybrid, is because we are in the office, because we see each other, we collaborate with each other on a daily basis, because we're trying to move so quickly. You know, you just need that interaction of being able to just sit down next to someone and say, okay, let's figure this out quickly. You know, of course, we could schedule a meeting for tomorrow when everyone's free. And, you know, you can do the same thing remotely. It's just how fast and how frictionless do you want to do it? So for us, it was quite clear that we do want to be in person to solve these challenges, because it is so early stage. Mm. And what we found is, you know, that if we position this as part of our company culture, that we want to connect with each other, you know, we want to have that human element, you will find the talent who's looking for the same thing, right? You will find the people who are excited about what we're building, who love the product, who are super on board, who want to work with other great people and, you know, have lunch together, go have a drink after work together, right? I think, you know, sometimes we're kind of forgetting we spend 40, 50 hours a week in the office with each other, right? That's a lot of time, you know, that you're working on something with other people. And when you can connect with them a little bit, when there is that human element, when you can have social interactions that are not strictly about work, that also makes a difference, because you know how to work with that particular person better after that, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know them a little bit. And, you know, that social connection, I think, also plays a part in performance and general output and delivery that you see.
So there's a philosophical aspect to it, and there's also a company preference, as in the business, the ecosystem that you folks are trying to create is that of one where people are in together, working dynamically, and ideally at home less and shut off less. To make it clear then, what is Kittel's approach to hybrid working?
Yeah, so for our Berlin location, which is the headquarters, it's by far the biggest, we have 3 days a week in office, and the other 2 days are optional, whatever you want. You can work remotely, you can come in. And, you know, 3 days might sound like a lot for some. Nowadays, we realize that. What is important is that you balance that. Yeah. So what we have, for example, is core working hours. Core working hours are between 12 and 5 p.m. And that also applies to the office days, which means when you're in the office on those three office days, you're expected to be in the office only from 12 to 5. If you want to come in the morning, of course you can. And if you want to stay later, of course you're welcome to do that. But it still gives you that window of flexibility, you know, even on the office days, that maybe you want to start your day at home, you know, have breakfast, take it easy, and then come to the office after lunch, for example. Mm-hmm. So we're offering a bit of that balance. For London, we're really now expanding into London. We have a big hiring push. We will have an office there in early 2024, most likely in January. And we're already seeing feedback from the people who are already working in London that they want an office. You know, they're excited about it. They all have WeWork access and they're all begging already. Can we get a normal office? WeWork is super annoying. You know, it's full of strangers.
It's super annoying, yet we want to work together physically.
Exactly. So they're keen to get together, get to know each other, you know, and really connect, because I think that makes it much easier to then actually work together and collaborate.
Mm. You know, as a recruiter, I would report the same thing. People are keen to get back into the office. We do find, of course, there are some humans amongst us that prefer to work fully remote all the time. For those people who like hybrid, and I understand Kittle offers 10-week fully remote working. So I want to ask about that, what the kind of design thinking behind that has been. We found that people are happy to go in hybrid as long as they can have a period, being an international environment that they work in, a period where they go back to their home country or another country and work remotely from there for a short period. What was the thinking behind the 10-week work anywhere policy, and how's that working?
Yeah, and so you hit the nail on the head. The 10 weeks of fully remote work that everyone gets per year is part of that same balancing act, you know? And we understand that 3 days a week, again, right, for some it might seem intense, but that's the balancing act. You get 10 weeks per year, which is a lot, 2.5 months, to work fully remotely from anywhere in the world. That's the policy that we have. And it, exactly like you said, being an international environment, by my last count, out of the 50 employees that we have at the moment, I think we have 19 different nationalities, right? That's really a lot. And we're very aware of that. And, you know, of course, people want to go home for Christmas, maybe for summer. You can go home for a week or 2 weeks and take vacation, or you can go home for a month or 2 months and take 2 weeks vacation and then work remotely for the rest of that time, you know? And that still gives you the flexibility of working for a company where you can get together and you can get to know your colleagues and collaborate in person. But then when you want to go home, visit your family, or maybe work from a beach in Malaga during the lovely Berlin winters, you can do that, right? So throughout the year, you have the flexibility to meet your needs, whatever they might be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been very well appreciated by folks here. And people are really taking, you know, taking the time to go home, visit families and mm-hmm. and use that time that they have.
Okay, brilliant. So far, hybrid working is working, and combined with the 10-week remote working policy. So these might be good recommendations for other HR leaders. Maybe on the flip side, or at least considering the other angle, for those people who are spending more time at home, I wonder, are the methods that Kittle has adopted, or simply how do you maintain that inclusive company culture, that, you know, looking in the background, people in the office there, how do you maintain that inclusiveness?
Yeah. It's a challenge that we are continually trying to solve. And a big part of the solution there was asynchronous work. So as a company in general, we much prefer asynchronous communication. And even being in the office, you can tell that's the case. Sometimes, you know, if the office is full on a Wednesday afternoon, we have 30 odd people in here, it's quiet. It's, you know, it's not a sales office. People are really sort of heads down, focused, working because of such focus that we have on asynchronous communication. So we're saying, let's try to really meet as little as possible. Let's align on Slack. Let's align on project docs. Let's, you know, collaborate together on the work that we're doing, but it doesn't have to be at the same time in a meeting. Mm-hmm. Let's have a meeting if we need to discuss something, if we need to untangle an ambiguous problem, absolutely. But then otherwise, you know, let's give each other the space to work in the way that we prefer and work in our own time. And we feel that that also helps to equalize a little bit, right? The people who are working remotely or in other locations, because actually majority of the people are working in the same way, just being in the office, right? It gives you a bit more chance to, you know, have a coffee and be a bit more social.
So, okay. So that's always a complaint of people who like to work remote. They say, going into the office, I never get any work done. I'm always distracted because it's always catch-up time with people, or there's always noise in the background. So do you go to efforts? Maybe I'm suggesting some over-engineering here, but do you go into efforts to create or foster that kind of more studious environment, or does it happen naturally because of the async comms?
So because of the culture and the values that we've had, it really has come about naturally, and people really fall into that rhythm once they join the company. You know, one of our first value as a company actually is thoughtful communication. And in that umbrella of thoughtful communication is communicating with data and communicating asynchronously, right? And rather, when we're collaborating, you know, let's bring somewhat completed ideas and thoughts that we've had to work instead of figuring out live in the meeting. And so that's the culture that we've been pushing, you know, since the very beginning. And it's sort of very clear as part of our onboarding. And so what we found is that even when you're in the office, the time that you might take, you know, like you said, people say, oh, I get to the office, I don't get any work done. So that for us is almost intentional, right? If you're in the office, then please do socialize. But what we don't want and what we've managed to avoid is this kind of work that's actually socializing, you know, or socializing that's pretending to be work, of being in a meeting and having a chit chat in the meeting for 15 minutes, you know, and only then starting the meeting. That's something we don't do. When we work, it's really about work. It's about focus. And then if you want to socialize, then be intentional about it and socialize. You know, schedule a lunch, schedule a coffee chat, ask someone, oh, do you want to walk around the block, you know, catch up, right? So have that separation and try not to mix work and socializing, but be intentional about wanting to socialize. And we found that works really well.
Interesting. I think of something on my mind. Simon Sinek has recently talked about how the next generation of workers expect so much from their working environment. And clearly you know about this, how they expect their employers to be their social life, their therapy, their coaching, and several other areas. Yet a workplace is still a workplace. Work still has to be done. I wonder, have you come across this challenge, and how do you approach these, I guess, expectations of the next generation?
Yeah. So I think what you said right there, right? I think there's even some internal dissonance within those expectations, right? They expect the employer to be, like you said, the therapist, a coach, the social life. And within those same expectations, they want to work fully remote and have the ultimate freedom, right, to work from anywhere they want. And I think already within that, that's already a dissonance, right? You want the social life and the coaching and everything that you're naming is high touch. It's very personal. It's intense. But you want all of that to be executed fully remotely and have complete freedom and have any working hours, work in the evening, work in the morning, work in the night, you know? And I think there already, they haven't really figured out. So which one is it that they want? Because I think, you know, they're a little bit mutually exclusive, or can be. So I think that's kind of one point. And then I would say in general on, you know, the pendulum in the talent market is swinging back a little bit. And what we saw, especially during COVID, you know, these demands coming from the employees of really expecting the employer to provide anything, right? It's like they think they are bestowing a gift on the company by working there. And so, you know, me as an employee, I deserve everything and whatever I want. I think what is important to kind of keep in mind is that, you know, the employer-employee relationship is still there at its core. If you want ultimate freedom, you can have it. Be a freelancer. Be an entrepreneur. Start your own business, right? Go hustle. Have an e-commerce store, right? Be your own boss. Have all the freedom that you want to have. Those avenues never went away. They're there. But if you want a stable paycheck, right? If you want vacation days that are paid for you, if you want health insurance, if you want all of these things, the stability, the safety, the guarantees that come with full-time employment, you have to give something back, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be a bit of a give and take.
And also the nicety is like reward and recognition. You don't get that as much when you go your own path, but it's certainly something that the next generation of workers I know appreciates.
Exactly. And you know, you need to be in an environment where you can also learn and you can get better as a professional, right? You need to be surrounded by other professionals who can help you and that you can learn from. And that kind of an environment most often is found, you know, working for a company as an employee. And so you get a lot of benefits by being an employee. And I think the expectation then from the employer is fair, which is to say, this is how we do work. This is how we want to build our company. So if you want to join and, you know, have the social cohesiveness, have the training, have the stability and the safety, we expect you to come into the office a couple of days a week, right? Mm. It doesn't sound that unreasonable. You know, it is a give and take.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm considering time wrap. I have a couple more questions, particularly, not to cut you off, particularly sure. About the future, the crystal balling, and maybe even some questions that come through. So I'm thinking about this year, there's been a lot of change in working policies, and we have maybe even ideological changes from employees. What do you think next year might look like? Is it going to be a continuation down the same path or something different?
So I think if I knew the answer to that, I would be a very, very rich man already. But I think, you know, what I'm seeing is, I think companies, a bit like I mentioned earlier, I think there's certain companies that are figuring out how do they want to work, what kind of products they want to build, and what kind of teams do they want to build as a result. And I know startups that are very successful, that have a small team, but a very experienced, very senior team. Mm. And then fully remote becomes way less of a challenge because everyone already knows what they're doing, right? Mm. You don't need to motivate people. You don't need to inspire them. You don't need to make sure they're engaged because it's a team of 20 people. They've all been working for 15 years. They are already motivated, right? This is why they're doing what they're doing. You know, you're already aligned on so many things. And then fully remote is actually very frictionless because you can easily connect asynchronously. You can easily understand what everyone's doing because you've seen it, you've done it, everyone's on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I've seen startups that have been very successful with this model. On the other hand, you have startup scale-ups that need maybe more headcount. Right, that where the business is growing tremendously and they just need to hire 20 people is not enough. They need 200 people. Naturally, you will maybe look towards the more junior end of the spectrum of the talent market, right? You're not hiring, you know, 15 years plus of experience for every role. You're also hiring a lot of juniors in various positions. Those are the employees that need the high touch, right? That need the training, that need the social cohesiveness, that need the motivation, the engagement. They're still trying to figure out, is this the right job for me? Is this the right career path for me? Do I like this? And so when you have all of those things, you know, all of a sudden being fully remote, having 50 junior marketing managers all over the world, it becomes a mess because no one is aligned. No one is working in the same way. Everyone has different expectations. Everyone has different skill levels and knowledge levels. And all of a sudden, this becomes a huge challenge, you know? So those companies will just naturally gravitate towards at least a hybrid model so that they're able to actually keep the company running smoothly and have everyone, you know, work on the same things and have a clear vision.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, I'll get more pointed then. How do you think the hybrid working models will impact business output for the foreseeable, for the next year or so?
I think it'll help companies, honestly, reduce cost for the ones that need to reduce cost, which will also help them, which will give them opportunities that they might not have had otherwise. I think a lot of startups who would have maybe not survived under normal conditions of having to have an office might actually have a shot now, right? Startups that are maybe not generating revenue, startups that are bootstrapped, all of a sudden you don't have to pay $15,000, $20,000 a month for an office because everybody's remote. That's amazing. You can invest that money into other things. So I think really what COVID has done for us in this case is give these companies a shot that maybe they wouldn't have had otherwise. And honestly, I would see from big tech a slow, gradual, almost invisible return to office. I think nobody wants to make that push. Nobody wants to make that announcement. I think it'll happen quietly. And
to what extent or what might the, how many days a week do you think in office?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think it will really depend on the industry and on the companies. You know, I see things like investment banking, right? There's just an in-office culture there. It's a hustle culture. Everyone's already working 80 hours a week because they're all crazy, right? But that's what they signed up for. They know what they're there for. I think big tech will eventually move into a model where, you know, you have 1-2 days a week that are flexible. Maybe you can work from home. Maybe you can do whatever. And I see really 3-4 days a week of being in office eventually, maybe not next year, maybe in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. We're seeing that across Berlin and across Germany already, big tech adopting these policies as to how much flexibility there is within teams. Is a different topic. And I'd imagine, or I'd hope that there is some flexibility based on the positions within the team and how the team likes to operate. Rap, for your peers, for your HR people and talent leadership peers, are there any key pieces of advice that for those other leaders who feel that they need to offer remote working to be an attractive employer, they're still in that kind of time warp of pandemic remote working?
Yes, I would say this topic you should approach from first principles. You should work backwards. You should understand, you know, is there a push for remote work? Is that coming from the talent market? Is that coming from leadership? Maybe leadership is on your heels saying, I want everyone to be in the office every day, right? Because they want control, because they want transparency. You know, they feel like maybe they don't see what people are doing. Again, in a startup environment, there's not a lot of transparency. You know, people often work in silos. The systems are not there to really track work and progress properly. And so leadership then often feels, if I don't see people working in the office, I don't know that they really are, you know? And I think, you know, this feeling often is not necessarily justified. It often comes from assumptions, presumptions, and sort of instincts. So my advice would be, if you have your leadership team who are pushing for a return to office, figure out why they're doing it. So really question, what is behind those assumptions? What is behind their insistence on return to office? Is it performance-based? Is it culture-based? If it's performance-based, go a step back and say, okay, are we evaluating performance of the team, right? If we're asking everyone to come back to office, do we have data that shows that they're not performing? Are they not delivering? more often than not, you probably won't do a performance review, right? Go to your functional leaders. Say, is everyone on your team really working? Is everyone delivering? Are you really keeping an eye? More often than not, what you'll figure out is most people are working. Most people are delivering. You'll get, you know, the 10% who are maybe lagging behind. But then you have to think, are we going to piss off 90% of our employees because 10% are dragging their heels? Or should we actually just solve for those 10%, right? Maybe we're not giving them enough support. Maybe, you know, we're leaving them behind a little bit. So start solving that problem. All of a sudden, this is not a work from home problem. It's a performance management problem for a very small part of your talent, of your employee pool. So, you know, my just to circle back, the advice is figure out what is the need from the leadership? What are the drivers? What are their opinions? And what are they actually based on? And then try to see if you can validate those concerns or if you can present data that would show otherwise.
Qualitative and quantitative. By the
yes. Yeah. Both, exactly. I mean, ideally, quantitative, which is can be hard to get, so qualitative also works. And then I would say, look at your company culture, figure out how do we want to build this company? What is important to us? Do we value freedom and autonomy, you know, truly? And we want people to be happy and work from Bali, which is where they deliver their best work. Or do we want to build like a team vibe, you know, a bit more old school, where people come to the office every day and they hang out and everyone's friends actually, right? And they have lunch and they have drinks and then on Friday they go out. You know, that can also be a completely valid desire to build a company that operates that way. Then, you know, you adjust your hiring to look for people who want that, who also see that company culture, you know, who go to your website and they see pictures of you having dinner and having fun, right? And they're like, oh, this is nice. That's what I want. I want to belong to a company. You know, I want to feel like I'm part of something and that I'm really building something. And you will find that talent. So figure out, again, going from the very top, what kind of company are we building? What is important to us? And then adjust your employer branding and your job descriptions and everything that's out there to target those people who respond to that kind of company culture.
Super, love it. Yeah. Consultative throughout, analytical throughout, and with the company's goals and missions and values at heart. Yeah, love it. Okay, we don't appear to have had any questions come through. I would encourage anyone who does have questions post live stream to send them through to you or to us.
Absolutely, great.
If people want to find out more about you and about Kittel, of course they can reach out to me directly. How can they get in touch with you, Rap? How can they learn more about the Kittel dream and about what you folks are trying to achieve at Kittel?
Always feel free to contact me on LinkedIn. So I'm always keen for a chat. So feel free to just send me a message or a connect request. Otherwise, if you go to kittel.com/career, you will have our careers page with, you know, the open roles that we'll have. We're soon posting some more employer brand material. We have a video. We have some shots from events. We'll post some more content as to what are the values of Kittel, how do we work together, so that you really get a bit of an insight as to what it's like to work for the company.
Super. And we will help in that as well, for sure. So many more questions. Lest we let people get to eating their in-office lunches today, I'll leave it there. But once again, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today.